Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I just began yesterday, the restored generation, that God is not only a deliverer, a healer, a savior, but He is a restorer, and that is God's ultimate plan. When you think about it, think about the Bible in its entirety. It opens with the creation of the world, of the heavens and earth, of the description of the creation of the animals and of God's creation of man. And we see in those opening chapters, sin entered in. Our adversary, Satan, came, and our first parents were deceived. They sinned and were sent out of the garden where there had been daily fellowship with God. Every desire, every need was met. They were in perfect safety, perfect happiness, and they realized when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to one extent, the devil always does half-truths. They were like God. They didn't know, they didn't have a knowledge of evil. Then they had a knowledge of evil, to their bitter regret, as well as mankind suffering down through the eons. But the point is, God, even before He created man and the earth, He knew what would happen. There was nothing hid from Him. He had Jesus, as the scriptures tell, waiting for that time when He would be come into the world, born of a virgin, and He would suffer and die for restoration of the human race to the Lord. He was the Lamb slain when? Before the foundation of the earth. And so God, even when He spoke before they were expelled from the garden, God promised a seed that would come from the woman and that He would crush the head of the serpent. And so we see what has occurred is when Jesus came, He fulfilled that promise. He established a new covenant based on better promises. And beloved, God is in the process, because He's not in a hurry. Time is in His hands. He is eternal. Time has no effect on Him. For us, we're mortal. Our days are numbered. And of course, we're very conscious of time. But in the course of human history, He brought our first parents and the succeeding generations into a knowledge and revelation of God. Remember, He revealed Himself to Abraham through the history of the Jews and through the birth of Jesus and the disciples and the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. It is all to fulfill God's original purpose. It's the design of God's heart for fellowship again with man, and He gave him dominion over all the works of His hands. Psalm talks about that. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands. And we don't see all things under our feet, but a time is coming when we will, because we are the children of God. Beloved, this is our heritage. So the reason I'm sharing this is all simplistic, and if you walk with God any length of time, this is not new to you. This is something you're very much aware of. But I want you to hear, perhaps with fresh ears, the scripture that is found in Acts, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 19 through 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. This is the message that so many ministries, and how many times I've quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14 over past broadcasts, when God's people will humble themselves and pray and seek the face of the Lord and turn from their wicked ways, what does that involve, beloved? That involves repentance. That involves not just, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm really sorry that I sinned. With that must come a willingness and a determination to turn from that sin. Does that mean you may never be tempted or may never fall again? No, but that means with your heart, sincerely, you are seeking to please the Lord. He knows our frame. He knows the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's what he said to his disciples. Can't you wait and pray with me for 1 hour? When he was suffering alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fell asleep. And so he doesn't ask anything of us that we cannot be victorious in, because it's not in our power, not our willpower, not our discipline, but it is through, we have to have a commitment, but it's through our surrender and yieldedness to the Spirit of God, and He will empower. That's, beloved, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for you shall receive power. Didn't Jesus say that? Stay in Jerusalem until I endue you with power. So, beloved, repentance, if you're not happy where you're at, if you are dismayed, if you are feel you've become lukewarm, if you have no more vision, if you just feel like you're a lump on a log, you're not going anywhere, that's not God's desire for you. He wants you to live in anticipation and expectation of what He's going to do, that we should be as joyful children. Now, does that mean we're never, you know, there's nothing worse going, someone goes around, especially if someone's heavy of heart, to have someone grinning all the time. But beloved, there are times, you know, Jesus was a man of sorrows. And so let us not ever expect that our life is one of a continual smile and laughter. Beloved, we weep with those who mourn. There is a time for all things, but nothing should ever remove the peace that we have, the faith that we have, that supernatural joy that we have, regardless of what we might be suffering at that moment, knowing that joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming when God answers our prayers, when He brings deliverance, when He brings restoration. So repentance, beloved, is an absolute criteria. If you're not happy where you are, seek the Lord with all of your heart and say, Lord, if I've gotten lukewarm, if there's some sin, ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's some area where you've just become stagnant in. And so this is the timely word that in order to be restored to what God has for us, not just to restore to where we were, but restored to God's plans for us. We may, you know, we can't even comprehend in fullness. We can't even grasp in a minuscule dimension of the good things God has planned for us right now, before He comes, before He takes us to be with Him. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about right here. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think here. I mean, in heaven with the Lord, there's going to be perfection of anything. We won't need prayer. We won't have to be praying. Every joy in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But let's go through this passage. Repent ye. He's talking to believers. He's speaking to those who have heard the gospel. And He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God has been promising us. It has been envisioned. It has been spoken of. Smith Wigglesworth, I understand, in the 30s, spoke of a great final harvest. Many of those great men and women of God didn't live to see it. But beloved, I believe we, by what we see in terms of what's happening around the world, the emergence of the globalists and the beast system, which is being set up behind the scenes. And when it happens, it will be a very dramatic, beloved. And He will come in peaceably, the scriptures say. He'll look like a really good guy. He'll have the answers to God, to all the world's problems. And beloved, those who understand will not be deceived. And so let's go on to read. That was verse 19, and verse 20 says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began." What is that saying? He shall send Jesus Christ, well, whom the heavens must receive. In other words, he's there right now. The heavens have received him. Jesus, when the disciples watched him ascend up to heaven in a cloud, a couple angels stood by and said, "What are you looking at, guys? The same Jesus that you saw taken up is coming back the same way." So what does that mean? He shall send Jesus Christ. I believe that means he shall send the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit. That's the task of the Holy Spirit. He lives ever existing to reveal the Lord Jesus in our lives and to convict men of unrighteousness. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in this earth. He's working to bring repentance. He's willing, even as, remember, Jesus spoke to Peter. He said, "I've prayed for your faith that it not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." Beloved, we not only have to repent of our sin, but we have to have a change of heart. We have to understand and reflect and meditate upon the Word of God. Our sins will be blotted out when those times of refreshing shall come, because Jesus is waiting on heaven until the times of restitution of all things. And that means there is going to be, he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Beloved, we're not going to need them when Jesus, I mean, there may be some teaching going on, but we don't need apostles, we don't need prophets, because that which is perfect has come. Jesus has come. He will be physically visible to the nations of the earth as he rules from Jerusalem. And so, beloved, it means the empowering of the Holy Spirit to bring a restoration, not only to the church in faith and in the moving of signs and wonders and miracles and great repentance, a great revival that we've been praying for, preaching for decades. It's coming, beloved, and I believe we are that generation to experience it. Beloved, I'm just getting into the message in, oh, I guess we can consider this all just introduction, and I'll start next week and we'll go into it more fully. Thank you for joining me. I love you. I look forward to hearing from you. Please write. I get encouraged when you write too. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Class A. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.